Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't he? My. What a wonderful time to live in right now. What do you mean a wonderful time? It's total chaos out there. Everything's going wrong. All you have to do is watch the news. Amen. I agree. Hallelujah. If you really, want to, cause yourself to become depressed, you will. Amen. But there are some things in the Word of God that God's wanting me to share with you tonight. So Pastor Mark was already there a while ago, so let's go back to Romans chapter 13. All right. Amen. I have used these sets of scriptures. This will be the third time now. Amen. I thought maybe I'd be going on to something else, but the Lord just really started to show me some things a while back to glean a little more. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you can glean a field, but you can go right back through it again and still find some more? Hallelujah. So it doesn't really matter how many times we go through some particular scriptures, there's always something there that is going to do us a lot of good. And so that's what we're looking for tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 11. And it says this, "And that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Amen. Hallelujah. So it's time, and you've heard this and you know this, and I really believe that we as the people of God are starting to shake off that sleep. Amen. We've kind of been docile for years. Amen. You know, that's what Pastor was talking about, back in the 80s, how the glory of God would come into church services and stuff. Amen. And just really, it was just the heaviness of God. Hallelujah. Well, that was because there was a hunger. That was because people were expecting God to do something. Amen. Well, I'm still expecting God to do something. Yeah, but do we have the same fervency that we used to have? I find myself in that boat more than I would like to admit. Amen. That there'll be times where I'm really hot for God and I'm studying, I'm praying, I'm reading and doing all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden, something will start to come in. Amen. Something that's not necessarily sin or anything else, but it starts to take your time. Has that ever happened to anybody? Well, I believe it's happened to everybody. Every believer has had to, at one time or another, shake themselves and stir themselves up. If Paul told Timothy to stir himself up, then how many of us know that we need to do the same thing? We just need to start to look at some things. So Paul says here, he says it's high time that we get this sleepiness out of our lives. He said, "For our salvation is nearer than when we believed." I thought salvation means wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. And so I always like to look up words. And so I went to my Greek concordance and stuff and started looking up. And the word that Paul used here as salvation, or they translated as salvation, Paul was actually using it for the word rapture. Amen? For the time of the rapture is nearer than when we first believed. And I believe that. Amen? And so it should be that we are starting to stir ourselves up in some things. Amen? Because the time has come to an end. I mean, it's just come to an end. Praise God. Amen? Now, verse 12 says this. It says, "The night is far spent," which means that Satan's works have basically come to an end. That's why there is so much wickedness going on right now. He doesn't have, I mean, he's got, I don't even know. He knows better than us just how much time he has left. Amen? And so he is pulling out all the stops. He is going after every believer. It doesn't matter how weak they are or how strong they are, because he is betting on any one of us at any given time to be laxed in what we should be doing. Amen. Now this, I'm giving us a wake-up call here. Praise God. We're going to look at some things, and God spoke a word to me that I'm going to share later on. Amen. And so tonight, in this third part, I call it the fight. The fight. How many of you love to fight? Not a hand raised up. Of course you don't. Nobody wants to fight. Amen? But let me tell you this, that you are going to have to fight. And you're going to have to fight hard, and you're going to have to fight long. You're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to do it when you don't feel like it. Amen? Because that's what we're in. We're in a fight. We're in a fight for ourselves individually. We're in a fight for the church as a whole. We're in a fight for our nation. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me also just say this when we're talking about Satan's time getting so close. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it said that the serpent was more subtle than any other creature that the Lord thy God had made. Subtlety means to come in unawares, just a little at a time, just a little bit here, a little bit there, nothing outrageous. He knew he had time. Now, do you see what's going on now? I mean, it's bombardment, one thing after another after another. Why is that? Because his time is almost up. He does not have time to be subtle anymore. Amen? He doesn't have time to be subtle. And so that's why it's such a wake-up call for us in the church. We see it on a daily basis, something going awry. Amen? It's not like this thing where it just kind of snuck in on us and we didn't know it. Amen? I mean, it's right in our face every day. Amen? And we got to learn to deal with it every day and not wait for someone else to do it for us. There may not be anybody else to do it for you. Amen? So Satan's time is coming to a close, and I say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. Let's start walking in light. You know, Jesus said this about us, that we are a city on a hill. It says, you don't light a light and put it under a bush or hide it under a bed. You put it on a lampstand so everybody can see it. That's what you and I should be doing right now. We should be shining like lights like never before. Amen. Polishing ourselves up. Hallelujah. Getting rid of some of that draggy stuff that, you know, like it says in Hebrews. Amen. Let us run the race, amen, and not be beset by every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And what we're saying, remember I told you that word beset means to run in circles. Amen. He ever thought you had something under control and then one day it comes and it bites you again? Amen. That's that sin that's so easily beset. You thought you had it under control, but you didn't. Amen? Because you didn't take mastery over it. Hallelujah. So, this is going to be good. I want you to know that. I want you to get your listening ears on. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we are to, in verse 14, let's look at that. It says, But put ye on the Lord Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we got to get rid of our touchiness. We got to get rid of hurt feelings. We got to get rid of what Pastor was talking about, strife. We got to get rid of all that stuff. We don't have time for that now. Amen. We've got a battle on our hands, but that battle is not with people in the church. Amen. And it's not with people in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's with Satan and demons and though, you know, principalities and powers. Amen. These are the things that you and I are fighting against. Now, we can't make no provision for hurt feelings anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. You understand that? Praise God. Amen. We got to do what Jesus did. We got to be like Jesus was. Amen. 1 John 4:17 says, because as he is, so are we in the world. Not in heaven, not in church, but out in the world. Do you see that? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're up against this magnitude, hurricane force, oppression, depression, onslaught, and anything else you want to call it. Well, I just don't think I got that anything like that in me. Well, I want to help. Actually, the Word wants to help. I'm just delivering what it's already said, what you've already read more than once. Hallelujah. But we're coming to that time where we're going to have to put up a fight. Amen. And quit waiting around for other people to do something for us. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with getting prayer. But how about praying for yourself? Better yet, how about going out and praying for someone? Amen. In other words, what I'm saying is take your mind off yourself. Don't get so caught up in yourself and all the problems that you got. I have found this to be the truth, that there are people out there who have a multitude of problems greater than mine. Amen. I have seen that time and time again. Amen. And so I want to readily pray for these people because my little deal is nothing compared to what they're going through. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. So we're talking about the fight. We're talking about what we have to do. I want to give us, let's see. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, captivity comes through ignorance. Amen. Hallelujah. It comes through ignorance. If you don't know what's going on, my people, you know, are held in bondage because of a lack of knowledge. Amen. And so you and I have got to understand what we're up against. Praise God. And so I want us to kind of look at some things here. Praise God. I'm give you some examples out of the Word of God. How's that? Of people waiting around for someone else to do something for them. And let's see what Jesus says about it. Amen. Let's go and look at this in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. John's Gospel. Amen. So stay with me. We got a lot to do. Are you there? John chapter 5. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't amen me enough, I just drag this out. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's get going here. Praise God. Verse 3 says this. Let's start with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these laid a great multitude, say multitude, multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled or stirred the waters. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Amen. Verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. Amen. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that how long a time he had been in this case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Amen. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, what do you think his answer would be? Well, yeah, I've been here for 38 years, you know, probably with just a smidge of attitude. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes, of course I do. I really like what the Amplified says about this. This is really interesting. Jesus says, Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well? That's amazing. Amen. You would think that if someone was sick, if you were sick, you'd want to get well. Amen. And you might be just a little bit offended by someone said, Are you really wanting to get well? Really? Amen. Hallelujah. He'd been there for 38 years. And yet nothing had happened. Here was his answer in verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. There you go. That's the reason right there. 38 years gone by, no one helping him. No one. I have no man. Amen. Hallelujah. That gets me to thinking. And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I would think this, that every time that angel stirred that water and I didn't get in, I'd roll a little closer to the edge. Wouldn't you? I'd roll and I'd roll because it just says that in a season he comes in and say how often that was. And I'd roll a little closer. Roll a little, take the initiative, amen. Going after just a little bit more, just a little bit more, until I was at the edge of that pool, no one in front of me, and when that angel stirred that water again, plop, in it I'd go. In 38 years, you can do a lot of traveling, amen. You can make a lot of somersaults, a lot of rolls from wherever he was. I don't know. I know there was a multitude there. But let me tell you something, in 38 years, I'd have done some moving. Amen? That's right. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus asked, he said, Do you really want to get well? You've been like this for 38 years. I just don't think you do. Well, I don't have nobody to help me. There's nobody here to help. Nobody wants to help me. I'm just here all alone. I'm just trying, people kicking at me, people stepping on me, stepping over me to get there. I can't walk. I can't do anything. Why don't you help me? Amen. That's how people are. People don't want to take the initiative to do something to help themselves. Well, wonder if they can't help us. Oh, please. Amen. I have read enough stories about people who overcame things to know that no matter what you're going through, you can overcome it. If you want to, if you really want to. Amen. And you don't need, if I was in that shape, I don't care if there were, oh, it'd be great. Amen. That'd be wonderful. Somebody picked me up. Jordan picked me up. As big as he could throw me around. Well, he might struggle a little bit, but amen. He'd get me there. He'd get me down there. Amen. That'd be wonderful. But wonder if Jordan's not there. Wonder if that day he just decided not to come for some reason. He had other things to do. Amen. So what am I going to do then? Well, I'll just have to wait around until somebody gets me. Somebody helps me out. Amen. So let's read on and look at this and what Jesus says. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Well, that you do have an issue. Amen. But Jesus didn't seem to take that into consideration when he said this in verse 8. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Amen. The Amplified says, "Get up." Get up. Why are you still laying there? Get up, pick up your bed and walk. Amen. Didn't he? Might have been one of them days Jesus just didn't have as much compassion as what he has at other times. Or it could be that he just gets disheartened to see people who don't want to fight. Amen. They want someone else to do it all. Oh, pray for me. Pray for me. Lay hands on me. Man, you know, I pastored for 16 years. I don't know how many people I prayed for. And it just seemed like I'd get done praying with them and they'd walk off smiling. And in 2 weeks, they'd be back wanting me to pray for them again for the very same thing. So whose fault was that? Amen. I'm not taking the blame for it. I'm not the fall guy here. Amen. They need to take the initiative to do something with what was given to them. There was an impartation. If I laid hands on them, there was an impartation given to them. And now they need to do something with that. They have been given something spiritually to fight with. Amen. And so they need to do that. Praise God. They need to do that. Praise God. Amen. Well, the guy at the pool is a lot like the church. We've been laying around just enjoying ourselves, sunning ourselves, splashing in the water every once in a while. Amen. The Holy Ghost get on us and we'd hoop and holler for one service. And then we go back. Amen. Put our inner tube away. And just sit there in our chair waiting for the next time when somebody's going to do something wild. Amen. You all look shocked. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I don't pastor anymore, so I can just say whatever I want. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an easy thing to take because God's been all over me about this. To get in the fight because the end is near. And if the church doesn't start fighting, then we lose everything. Amen. We just don't realize how much of a freedom we have yet in the United States of America. But it's vastly diminished in less than a year. Amen. I mean, there are pastors who are being arrested. I mean, just this week, a pastor in Canada who had been in the United States, he told a guy, he said, "I can almost guarantee you when I get back home, I'm going to be arrested." He was arrested. Why? For having church. He didn't embezzle anything. He didn't murder someone. All he'd done was had church. And that is against the law right now. You and I can't fathom that. Here we are in here right now. Amen. Police department just doing whatever they do out there. Absolutely no concern about what's going on in here. They're not in looking in the windows, seeing if we're all masked up, 6 feet apart, or anything of the sort. They're just doing their job, going about their thing. They got other things to do. Amen? So it's really important for you and I to step up to the plate. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go and look at this in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Everybody is way too quiet in here. Amen. Now, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to preach when I hear a holy hush? Amen. But it will get better. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? Mark chapter 9. That's right. You are listening. Here's the man whose son was demon-possessed. And he was out there just, you know, wallowing and foaming at the mouth. And the disciples tried to cast that demon out, but they couldn't do it. And so his father brought him to Jesus for him to do something. Amen? For him to do something. Amen. Jesus answered them in verse 19 of Mark 9. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. In other words, how long am I going to have to put up with this? Amen. How long is this going to be taking place? And so he asked him, he said, well, how long has this been going on with this boy? He says, ever since he was a young child. Already way too. How many of you would let your children suffer from that type of thing until they were a young adult? Wouldn't you think you'd want to do something? Amen. Try something. Oh, this is a novel idea. Try prayer. Try to take authority over something. Well, let's load them up and give them to pastor. He'll know what to do. Amen. Yeah, he'll know what to do. Hallelujah. But we might be like some of them whenever they come and get the preacher, it says they're at the point of death. Amen. That happened more than once. I don't want to wait to the point of death. I want to take charge of this while it still can be overcome by what I know at the moment. Amen. Hallelujah. So, He said, all these things are happening. And he says in verse 22, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Amen. If you can do anything. But look what Jesus said. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The Amplified says this. You say to me, if I can do anything? Why, all things are possible to him who believes. Don't put this on me. Amen? You know, these two guys came up to Jesus one time and wanted him to judge between them, you know, about, I can't remember what the exact thing was. And Jesus said, who made me a judge? Can't you do anything on your own? Hallelujah. I can hear the love. You understand what I'm saying, though? Jesus said, why are you getting me involved in this? Amen? This is something that you could do. This is something that you and I could do. This is something that you and I must do. Amen. Because, see, Jesus is not here in the flesh, but you and I are. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, spiritually speaking, so are you and I. So therefore, his authority has become our authority. Remember what we talked about the last time? That you got to see Jesus as the resurrected Christ all the time. Not the Christ hanging on the cross. Not the Christ that was scourged. Not the Christ that was died. But you have to look at him as being the resurrected Christ, full of power and glory. Amen? That's what you and I are living in right now. So that's why, you know, yes, I understand that Jesus was still here in the flesh, but even his disciples weren't able to do anything. You would thought that they would have a little bit of understanding how the master operated. and do something somewhat, at least a little bit like he did. Amen. But they couldn't, and they didn't. Hallelujah. And they asked him, well, why couldn't we do it? And verse 29 says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Whoop, well, that took care of that. Amen. A little bit of prayer in there, but fasting, forget that. Amen. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's go and look at this in Acts chapter 3. Did I tell you it's going to get better? All right. Hold on to that thought. Acts chapter 3. See, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. You've seen all these. You've read all these stories. And so it's not anything that you haven't seen. Chapter 3, Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So they were going to pray. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. So he did have somebody helping him. He didn't have to stay there all the time. He'd go and get alms, and then he'd go home. Hallelujah. Which is called beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered in. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Amen. Another handout. That's good. I know exactly how to do it. Amen. Then Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. He didn't let him think about it. He grabbed him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to help you, but not the way you think. We're going to give you something that's going to be permanent. Amen. Hallelujah. He was expecting. Just put it right here. I've got my little bag right here. It'll just go from here to here, here to here. That's all he was expecting. His expectation was so limited by just what he could receive with his hand. But Peter said, what I do have, I'm going to give you. And it's going to cause you to walk. You'll never have to beg again. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Here are three examples of people who just laid around waiting for someone to do something for them. Now, please, I'm not heartless. And I do understand that if someone is in a dire need and cannot help themselves, that's a different story. Amen? But how long have these people been doing this? One for 38 years. One from a child. The last one from his mother's womb. Amen? Now, if something would happen and you'd lose your job overnight, that's one thing. But these people have been doing this their entire lives. Amen? Waiting for someone else just to help them out. And there are people like that. They're just needy. They don't want to really do anything. Amen? People in Spirit-filled Holy Ghost churches, and they're just waiting around for someone to do something for them. Amen? If I waited around for someone to do something for me, I'd be waiting a long time. Amen? And number two, I don't like it. I don't like it. Amen? I want to see God move in my life. Oh, it's nice if someone, you know, gives you a Pentecostal handshake. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll take it and be glad, and me and my wife will go out and eat. Hallelujah. Amen. But see, there's some things that go beyond just, you know, going and getting a meal. There's some things in your life that are monumental, and it's going to take more than, you know, $20 somebody gives you. Nothing wrong with that. Praise God. But sometimes it takes more. And that's what Jesus and Peter was trying to get over to these people. It's time for you to rise up and do something different. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's flip the coin. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 10. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. We want to look at Bartimaeus. Amen. He was a guy who had issues. He was blind. And he sat on the road begging. Right? He sat there on the road begging. One day he was sitting there and he heard a commotion. And he asked someone, he said, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. Amen? Oh, that's good. Maybe he'll give me something. Amen? No. What did it say that he done? It said that he cried out. Amen? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen? And everybody around there was going, you go, man, you go. You tell him, you tell him, you tell him. Is that what they did? No. They told him to shut up. Amen? He's got a fight on his hands. What's he going to do? Is he going to go after Jesus, or is he going to listen to them? Well, it says that he cried all the more. Amen? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it says, and Jesus stood still. Amen. And he turned around and he called him to it. And then all of a sudden, everybody, the master wants to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see how quick the tide can turn whenever you get serious about something? People who were against you, now they're for you because you did something out of the ordinary. Amen. He cried out. He didn't even know where Jesus was. He didn't know if Jesus had already passed by or if he was still coming, if he was in front of him or behind him. He didn't know. He just cried out in faith. Amen. Jesus commanded him to be brought to him. Amen. And he asked him the question, what do you want me to do for you? Amen. Now, if he'd have been like some of these other, well, could you help me get back to my house? Them guys, they're not coming today, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so afraid. I might have to stay out here all night. Is that what he said? No, he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Glory to God. Amen. That I might receive my sight. So, what's Jesus going to do with that? Somebody crying out in faith. Somebody who's going against the odds, someone who is, taking a stand, is he just going to say, oh, man, you ask a hard thing. Amen? No. He got his sight back. And what else took place? And he followed Jesus in the way. Did any of them other people follow Jesus? It was the one who took a stand. He's the one who followed. He's the one who went after it with everything that he had. I mean, as soon as Jesus wanted him to come to him, he threw off that beggar's cloak. Amen? Why? Because he knew that he was going to get something. He would not be known as a beggar any longer. It's time for you and I in the church to quit being called cowards. Amen? And just take a stand. I'm not saying you're going out to look for a fight, okay? But I guarantee you that we're going to have to take a stand one way or another. Just wait till the next person, if you've not got vaccinated, and they said, did you get the vaccination? No. Why not? I had one person tell, he said, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Well, maybe for you, not for me. You understand what I'm saying? You got to take a stand on what you believe, what the Word of God has taught you over the years. We've been taught a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. Over the years. I mean, I've listened to Pastor Mark since 1992. Amen. I've got some cassettes of his. Amen. So I know what the Word of Faith tells me, but am I willing to do what the Word of Faith tells me to do? Amen. Hallelujah. I know this may be somewhat heavy, but I don't know. Last time I looked, we were living in some pretty precarious days. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We're not going to go to this, but because I want to get to David here. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, whenever he was going out against the army, he said, we have no might against this army, but we set our eyes on you. Amen. And what did the Lord tell him through the prophet? He said, go out. Yes, go out. Don't sit at home. Go out. I'll tell you exactly where they're going to be. You go out and meet them. But he also says this, there will be no need for you to fight in this. Amen. But you have to go out and look at the enemy. Do you see that? You have to go out and look at the enemy. You may not want to. I don't want to. The enemy is probably bigger, more well equipped. Amen. But he said, the battle is not yours. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he goes out, and the rest, of course, is written in the book. Go and read it. I'm not going to read it for you. Amen. But read that. It's very, very important for us to look at that. You got to go out and meet the enemy. Don't wait for the enemy to come to you, because when that happens, it's too late. You've done allowed him into your territory. Keep him out. Amen? Keep him out. Praise God. All right, we're going to close here. In 1 Samuel 17, we all know this about David and Goliath. And I was reading just this morning and going through some things as I was making some other notes and different things. And looking at that, and it's just really, really amazing the confidence that David had in his God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. That he didn't think even for 1 minute that he was going to have to go out there and do bodily contact, confrontation with anybody. Amen? So we're looking here and we're seeing that David's father sends him to the battle to see how it's going and to take some provisions with him for his brothers and see how they're doing, you know, and encourage them and whatever. So he gets there and does these things. And in verse 26, we're going to look in this, and we got a few scriptures that we want to look at in this. And David spake unto the men that stood by him. They're just standing around, loafing. Amen. Not preparing for a battle. They're just standing around, shooting the breeze with each other. Amen. And David said, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? Kills Goliath? No one in their right mind thought that was ever going to happen. Amen. Not even wound him, but kill him? And David says, what's to be done for the guy who does this? Amen. And takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this? Amen. That's the way that we got to look whenever the pressure's put on. Who are you? See, that's what the world will try to do. They'll try to make you look stupid. That you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. You just got to stand up and say, who do you think you are? Amen. And that's what he was doing. And it says, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom thou have you left them sheep? In other words, what are you doing here? Why aren't you taking care of them measly little flock of sheep? Putting him down here. Making him feel stupid. Amen? He says, I know your pride and your naughtiness of your heart, for thou hast come down that you might see the battle. In other words, you just came down here to look around. You weren't going to do nothing. All you're wanting to do is point fingers and complain. Now look at what David says in verse 29. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you know what the word cause means. It means a spoken word. Amen. Is there not a cause? And I can't remember who I heard say this. I think it was Greg Stevens on the Victory Channel said this. He says that this is how you should interpret when he says, is there not a cause? He says, so is there not anyone here who will say the same thing that I'm speaking? Is there not anyone here who will say the same thing? Do you know how hard it is to get two people to say the same thing? And that's what David was saying. He said that he turned, in verse 30, he turned from him toward another and spake the same manner, and the people answered him in the same way. What are you doing here? In other words, they're trying to take the blame off themselves and put it onto David. Do you see that? And David says, isn't there anyone here who will say the same thing I'm saying? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He just needed one who would agree with him. Do you see that? Amen. And then we go on in verse 32. David tells Saul, let no man's heart fail him, because thy servant will go out and fight this Philistine. But Saul says, you can't. Amen. You can't. But you're just a kid. And he's a man of war. from his youth. He was raised doing this. He was raised killing people. Amen? Taking countries. Amen. And David said, well, I look at it this way. When I was out in the field and there was a lion came to try to get one of my sheep, he said, I took that sheep out of its mouth. And when it rose up against me, he said, I tore it up. He said, I did the same thing with the bear. Amen. And he said, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you've had some past victories under your belt, you can pull them out and use them. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So David said, moreover, the Lord that hath delivered me out of the paw, this is verse 37, of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Do you see that? Hallelujah. And we go on and we see when David goes out to meet Goliath. David didn't wait for Goliath to come. He went out to meet him.
That's right.
Amen. Stood there and Goliath making fun of him and saying, you know, who are you? Am I a dog? Amen. Do you see that? Making you like you're nothing and he's all that. Do you see that? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move this through. Hallelujah. So David ran toward him. In verse 50 it says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. I'll be. There was no weapons. No weapons. He didn't have anything with him. Amen. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. Hallelujah. Then, when all the people, all the men saw what was going on, they aroused and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley. Somebody else did the work, and they decided, hey, let's make a good show out of this. Let's all rally around David. Glory be to God. Amen. And it says that they chased him. And then they come back and then they spoiled their tents in verse 53. That's amazing. He went out to the battle. He declared from the very beginning, what does a man who kills this guy get? Amen? Hallelujah. What are you and I in store for whenever we decide to go after the things of God the way that God wants us to go after them. Amen. I left a lot of stuff out that I could have gave you tonight. Amen. But I just feel that these are the things, references in the Word of God should mean something to us. That it's time for the church to rise up and quit waiting for a handout. Amen? We are to be the triumphant church, a glorious church. It says that Jesus is coming back for a church that does not have spot or wrinkle. Amen? So what do we need to do? Amen? All of these things, what this book says, it's all going to come to pass. Every bit of it. Amen. And so we need to be prepared. That's the reason I said it. It's high time for us to awake out of our sleep and take charge of what's going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to close with this. This is what the Lord spoke to me last Wednesday. Amen. As I was praying and thinking about these things, he said this. He said, the battleground has been set before you. So there's a fight, and it's been set before you. He said, I'm looking for those who will enter in and do battle. Not in the physical, but in the spiritual. For the victory that you are looking for is not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So us trying to take down people, that's not the victory. Amen? Us, you know, trying to get people put in jail or anything like that, even though that they probably need this, that's not the victory that we're looking for. We're looking for something that is far more permanent than that. Amen? The Lord said this. He said, I already know the outcome. But for you to know it, you must engage with me against every enemy. Amen. The revelation of what I've promised you will come at that time. You'll be just like David. He said, I remember when God did this. Amen. And he'll do it again. It says that with great boldness, and great boldness will be upon my people as they go forth and drive out every enemy before them. Amen. That excites me. Because, see, we're not doing it as an individual. We're doing it as the church. We're coming together as the church, as believers. Amen. You don't have to stand alone. Amen. Just like Pastor was saying, you know, when Paul said that they all forsook him, and said, yet the Lord stood with me. Amen. And so there may not be another flesh and blood person around you, but you got to know this. Standing right next to you is God Almighty himself. Amen. And that's all you need in these days. That's all any of us need. It's good to have other people around and rallying around the thing. Of course it is. And we'll get more done that way too. Amen. But God's there for us. But we got to enter into the fight. Amen. We got to enter into what God has planned so that we can have continual victory. So that we can build ourselves up, amen, and do the work that God has called us to do.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.